The Richmond Theatre Critics Circle.
Curtain Call.
A discussion of all things theatre with Richmond critics and occasional guests.
Welcome to Act 2, Scene 12 of Curtain Call. I'm Jerry Williams from Sifter.
And I'm Claire Boswell from Style Weekly.
We're going to talk about Death Trap today, which is playing at Swift Creek Mill Theatre through February 25th. It's about a mystery playwright who hasn't had a hit in years, so when a young student sends him a promising new play, he considers making it his own. So what'd you think, Claire?
I enjoyed it. I did not know much about it going into it, other than the fact that it was a murder mystery, and so when I walked into the theater, the first thing that really caught my eye was that amazing set.
Full of all kind of
weapons. And as I mentioned in my review, the first thing I thought about was the whole idea of Chekhov's gun and, you know, the gun in the first scene that needs to go off by the end. And there were so many weapons that I was sort of excited to see, like, which of them were going to go off by the end. Yeah.
Right.
And I thought that was sort of fun that they made some surprising choices with all of those. Yeah, I was genuinely scared quite a few times.
Everyone was, yes. Yes. You saw people jumping. It was. They had some great surprises.
There were great surprises, great scares. And one of my favorite things was, again, on opening night, there was an actual storm going on outside.
That's
and, of
true.
Course, there is a storm happening in the show. And
you can hear the rain on the roof.
Yeah, you can hear the rain on the roof. And I wasn't sure if it was the sound design or the real rain once we got outside. And I realized that it was
the real
actually
thing.
Raining.
Now, I did see the original production they did back at the Mill, probably the early 80s. Richard Travis, who plays the playwright, actually did the role back then. I thought he did a great job. He was masterful. He kept my attention the whole time. Caleb Wade, who plays the young playwright, I thought this is the best thing he's ever done on the Richmond stage.
And I've never actually seen Caleb Wade on the Richmond stage before. However, I was thoroughly impressed with him. I thought he was amazing. One of my favorite parts of the whole play.
And let's talk about the other three. Brooke Yule, who was the wife. She was hysterical with aplomb. She gets to scream a whole lot, and I thought that worked well. Jennifer Frank as the psychic was appropriately comic. And Jeffrey Clevenger, who is usually very funny, he got stuck with kind of a dry role as an attorney. So he did a nice job, but he didn't really have a chance to play his comic skills.
See, for me, I'd seen Jeff Clevenger and Jennifer Frank before in various productions playing more serious roles. So for me, it was sort of exciting to see both of them flexing their comedic muscles. Yeah, on a lighter note. It was fun for me.
And you mentioned Tom Sett. I thought Tom Witt, who not only directed the show, did a beautiful job on the set. I thought he really did a nice job directing the show. He allowed the actors to take time with some moments. And I think you had a little problem with some of the time that was taken.
Yeah, I think that for me, and as I said, I think this might be a part of the fact that I'm maybe a part of that younger audience that you spoke about in your review who wants things to happen a little more quickly. But I thought that a lot of the scenes, especially the first scene, dragged a bit and the pacing was a little off for me. And I think that some of the frightening moments might have been more frightening if I hadn't sort of been waiting and knowing they were going to come and expecting them.
Which is ironic because Tom Witt is known for keeping shows snappy. So I think he must have intentionally decided to let those scenes play out a little more. Mara Lynch Cravey's costumes were kind of subtly 70s. I loved when Caleb came out in his first pants. You noticed they were kind of like dad jeans. They were not low-rise. And Joe Duran's lighting was very effective.
We talked a little bit about sort of the lightning and everything and how the storm was really realistic because of the lighting, but I also noticed that there were some subtler things like, you know, making sure that the lighting outside of windows and doors let us know what time of day it was, things like that going on.
There were some references in the show that from the 70s, being 40 years ago, I bet you probably missed some of those.
I think I got some of them, probably not all.
I thought it was interesting that when the show was originally produced, you find out that two of the people are lovers, and that's a shock because having a gay couple was kind of shocking in the late 70s. Obviously now it's kind of like, so what?
Yeah, I don't think we saw them kiss.
No, I know in the movie there was a kiss, and it was kind of a shocker, but I don't know if Tom decided it didn't need the kiss and that there was enough just implied affection.
Yeah, I think the actors did a nice job of letting us know their relationship without needing to be super overt.
So overall, I think this is an excellent cast. Tom Witt did a great job of directing. It's still a classic mystery, but it works and delivered shocks and surprises.
Yeah, absolutely.
We were originally going to discuss the complete works of William Shakespeare, Abridged, produced by Quill, but unfortunately, and everybody should be aware of this if they're going to see it, the curtain is at 7 o'clock instead of the traditional 8 o'clock. I showed up at 8 o'clock and missed half the show. Did you enjoy it?
I really loved the show. It's one of my favorite. I remember it well from high school, and I think it's popular with high school audiences because it's Shakespeare, and it's like a bridge Shakespeare, so there's that. But I think also it's the kind of play that you can be really scrappy with, and you don't need to spend a lot of money and do it really well. But one of the things that that this production does is they did spend a little bit of money. And the actors, of course, are much higher quality than what you'd get in a high school production. Right, right. So it was quite elevated, I'd say.
Terrific. That's all we're going to do on that. Thank you.
All right.
Our guest today for an encore visit is Katrina Lewis, local actor who most people know in town, and she's also the Associate Artistic Director of Theater Lab and in charge of the Cellar series. She talked a little bit about it 2 weeks ago on Curtain Call, and she's back this week to tell us a little bit about the shows that are coming up in the Cellar series. Katrina, welcome back.
Thank you. Happy to be here, too.
For your encore.
Yes, an actress loves an encore.
Absolutely. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the actual shows that are going to be in it? And I think we're going to have an exclusive announcement of who the actors are in these shows.
Yes. We are launching our Cellar series with The Good Body by Eve Ensler. It's going to be a three-night special event, a staged reading.
And she wrote Vagina Monologues.
Yes. And this piece is exploring her struggles with her own body. And this play is going to be directed by Lucinda McDermott Pirro. And is featuring an ensemble of three actresses, Amy Berlin, Deirdre Jones, and Maggie McGurn. And they will be bringing this piece to us in February. So it will be a wonderful opportunity for us to raise some money in conjunction with 1 Billion Rising. The next play that we are doing is My Name is Rachel Corey, which is actually by Rachel Corey, edited by Alan Rickman and Catherine Viner. And that will be directed by Heather Fox. And My Name is Rachel Corey is about a young woman named Rachel Corey, 23-year-old American woman, who was crushed to death by an Israeli army bulldozer in Gaza while trying to prevent the demolition of a Palestinian home. And the play is compiled of her journal entries and emails. It's a really beautiful piece. And we have the delight of featuring Kaylee James in this production, which will be performed March 3rd through March 11th.
And she played the girlfriend in 4,000 Miles last season at Cadence, right?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Good. And what's next after that?
After that is Twilight, Los Angeles, 1992 by Anna Deavere Smith. That will be directed by Addie Barnhart, and it will be starring me.
Okay.
And 2017, we are on the 25th anniversary of the Rodney King riots.
Wow.
And right? Yeah, puts it in perspective. And Anna Deavere Smith, as a lot of us know, she has sort of created the genre of documentary theater. She interviewed about 300 people in the aftermath of the Rodney King riots, from Korean shop owners to some of the policemen that beat Rodney King to Rodney King's family members. And she compiled the play based on their words. So it's about 30 different perspectives.
Wow, okay.
And so I will be doing that in March, March 24th through April 1st at The Basement. And then we'll do an added performance May 4th, which will be the anniversary of the final day of the Rodney King riots. And the last offering of the Cellar series is Grounded by George Brandt. That will be directed by Maggie Roop. And it will be starring Bianca Bryan. Very excited about this project. An ace fighter pilot's career in the sky is ended early due to an unexpected pregnancy. Reassigned to operate remote military drones from a windowless trailer in Las Vegas, she hunts terrorists by day and returns to her family each night.
Oh, that sounds interesting and very relevant. There have been a couple movies that have covered that subject, so it'll be interesting to see Bianca do that role.
Yes.
Well, it sounds like a very exciting season. And where can people find out more about not only the Cellar season, but the regular season at Theater Lab?
You can come and visit us at theaterlabrva.org.
Terrific, Katrina. Thanks for coming back again, and good luck on all the shows.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me, Jerry.
One final note about a special event coming up at Firehouse Theater. Pretty much everyone is familiar by now with Hamilton, the monster musical hit, which I was lucky enough to see in October in New York. Well, the Firehouse Theater is bringing Hamiltunes RVA to town. This is a sing-along event that will be Thursday, February 9th at 7 p.m. at the theater. People can sign up to sing a specific song, or you can join the chorus, or you can just sit in the audience and watch. If you're interested in signing up to sing a song, go to the Firehouse Theater website and sign up. You can also sign up for tickets. We want to thank Open Source RVA for hosting us on WRIR, and that's going to do it for Curtain Call for this week. I'm Jerry Williams from Sifter.
This is Claire Boswell with Style Weekly.
And we'll see you in 2 weeks.
For extended podcasts and complete reviews, visit the Richmond Theater Critics Circle website at artsies.org.